Did you ever encounter the Ku Klux Klan in this area?
No, we never did. We never did, and that's back to what I'm saying. They did in Tulsa, but for us here, there wasn't any of that action around here. And that's why I say Chelsea and Claremore, I'm so proud to be here and from it, because there never was really any real extreme situation that came about from segregation. One thing that I was going to mention when we lived at Chelsea, the people up there treated us so good. My daddy, they all loved him and respected him so much. Mrs. Sally McSpadden, I was wanting to talk about her. Will Rogers' sister had a big home up there in Chelsea, and they just about took care of us. See, my daddy on the side, he chauffeured for Mrs. Sally McSpadden and served parties, and we'd all go up there. She'd want us up there a lot of time. And what we did, we worked up there in the yard in the summer, took care of the grass and mowing. And they had another black man, his name was Gus Rogers, who took care of the cows and horses. We worked in the gardens. Every time that we'd go up there in the morning, Mrs. McSpadden's daughters that lived there with her, her name was Helen Eaton, she'd tell us, come on in, boys, and get you something to eat. We'd go in there in the morning, they'd always fix a glass of milk, a peanut butter and jelly, some kind of sandwich, something. Every time we'd go to pick up milk, and they gave us milk, so we'd pick up the milk. We worked there in the summer, doing the yard and in the garden. Daddy chauffeured and served porters. And when Will Rogers would come in, my grandmother worked in the kitchen, and she always would tell us how Will Rogers would come in and put a $10 or $20 bill in our apron pocket, because they had big get-togethers there at Mrs. McSpadden's place all the time. And a lot of times after Will Rogers' death, his buddies would come up there still and visit his sister, Mrs. McSpadden. Because Will Rogers was raised up around Chelsea and Oolongo and Claremore and all that there. They would fly in there, those guys in them planes, they had them Piper Cubs. There wasn't no big planes in Chelsea, nothing back then, you know what I'm talking about. And they would fly in and they'd land out there in the pasture. See, they had a lot of property out there. They'd land out there in the field, and we'd go out there around them planes and look. They always carried orange stakes. They drove it in the ground and tied a plane to it to keep it from blowing away. Them Piper Cubs were made out of canvas. They were light, and they would always tie them down, anchor them down to keep them maybe blowing away.
Will Rogers died August 15, 1935, mm-hmm. when you were just a year old.
Yeah.
But then you heard stories about him through his sister.
In fact, Mrs. McSpadden, I'll tell you what was touching for me. Miss Sally McSpence, a wonderful lady, she was sick, terminally ill, and her daughter that lived with her, Helen Eaton, called us all in the house and said, Mama wants to see you. Well, she had a big bedroom upstairs, two-story house up there, still there. And Mrs. McSpadden called the kids all in the bedroom and talked to me and my two brothers. My sister wasn't born. She called us boys in there and just hugged us and everything, talked about she loved it. It was so touching. We know that she was terminally ill, you know, and she wanted to see us and talk. She just hugged us and loved us so much. They just about took care of us. They'd done so much for us, my dad. Helen Eaton stayed with her. That was her daughter. And Helen had a daughter that was named Lucia. Lucia got married there in our house. Of course, my dad served that wedding. And we were up there. We were up there when Lucia got married, her granddaughter. We were all there, her and all her relatives, Clem and Bo Mc, all of them, her brothers and things, you know, that was all up there.
What was Will's sister's name again?
Sally McSpadden. Clem was her nephew.
Clem
Bo McSpadden was her brother, and she had two or three brothers. They were all nice people. They treated us well. They had the cows, and they gave us usually a gallon of milk. Every day we'd go up and pick up the milk. They really were nice to us. They just about took care of us.
Yeah.
They were wonderful people. I can't say enough about them. I just love those people. And that's why I say we never had any hard times up there. There was always going to be a smart aleck in the bunch of the crowd that's going to draw attention. But all of the guys that I was associated, Ralph Terry and all those guys, decent guys, respectable guys, they were on our side.
Yep.
There's always some guy wanting to start trouble. We had one guy up there was a smart aleck type of guy. There was a cafe up there in Chelsea. His name was Ed South. Him and his son Clifford South run it. We call it the Greasy Spoon. He used to make the best hamburgers and homemade chili and stew you don't know what lay your lips on. Them hamburgers, them greasy burgers, he'd put that meat on that grill and then mash them onions in it and cook it in them, you know, and that. All those were the best. But we ate there. He had a place for us in the back in the kitchen where we sat down and ate. That's where they hung out, a lot of the guys did.
And by the way, it's hard to imagine you are 87 years old. I mean, that mind of yours. Did you ever have any health issues or problems down through the years?
Well, no, I never did have many. I do have, at this time, I am a diabetic, and I've got high blood pressure, but my blood pressure and stuff is mostly under control. I don't know about my blood sugar, because I'm eating some candy now, but I've had a good life. I haven't had any major issues or anything. I do remember what happened when I was playing baseball. The only problem that I had body-wise at that time was we had a ball game scheduled for a team, and they didn't show up. We just chose sides in between the guys that we had there and played a game. Because people that came, I was playing third base, and we got a guy trapped between second base and third base. I was running him down, and somehow my spike hooked into the base or whatever that was, the ground, in the wrong direction, and my leg twisted and broke all the cartilage loose in that knee. Fortunately, I didn't have to have surgery. My doctor at that time, they didn't have all the techniques. That was in 1957 or 8. My doctor at that time, he said, Riley, you broke all those cartilage loose in your knee. And what he did, he put it in a cast. That leg was in a cast for 6 weeks. And after he took the cast off of it, that leg had shrunk so bad, you know, I didn't even recognize it. So he said, Riley, he said, I want you to do some therapy to bring this leg back to where it should be. And he told me to every morning in the bathtub run full of hot water and get in that bathtub and work that leg and work that leg. And by George, it came on back over a period of time. It took about a month or so or somewhere back that. And it finally came on back to where I could play ball again. I mean, you know, and just through that therapy that he showed me, this water, you know, and sitting back and forth and exercising that leg back and forth, did an outstanding job. And I don't have any problem with it today.
Good.